But first, there is debate raging around the world about the merits of genetically modified foods. Some see it as a possible saviour for mankind. Others see it very differently. And one of the most intense discussions at the moment involves bananas that are actually grown in far north Queensland on the Cassowary coast. Over recent years, scientists from the Queensland University of Technology have modified bananas to have higher levels of pro-vitamin A. The bananas are grown at a trial plot at South Johnston, but they are not designed to be eaten by Australians. Queensland University of Technology Professor James Dale is the project leader on this one. I'll let him explain.
It's part of the Grand Challenges in Global Health program from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And one of the grand challenges that they put forward was to develop staple crops with increased micronutrients. Because one of the really big public health problems in the world are micronutrient deficiencies, and they're particularly in developing countries. And that's despite wonderful strategies such as food fortification and supplements. It's just that they don't get to a lot of people that really need it, particularly the poorest of the poor. So the idea was to generate staple food crops that actually contain these micronutrients. And the two major ones are provitamin A or beta-carotene and iron. So our project has been, and this is particularly for East Africa where the staple food is bananas, and these are cooking bananas. Our project has been to develop the local bananas, but with dramatically increased provitamin A and iron. So that was the genesis of the project.
You have been trialling these bananas or growing them in North Queensland now for a number of years. How did the growing stage trials go?
Oh, really well. So what we've done, and we wanted to work out which genes we needed to use to be able to increase, and particularly the provitamin A, and we were able to find a banana from Papua New Guinea called Asapina, which has naturally very, very high levels of provitamin A, and we were able to take a gene from Asapina and put it into, and we use Cavendish as the sort of model. And we were able to get way over target. Our target was a level of provitamin A. It was actually 20 micrograms per gram. We had bananas growing up in North Queensland with over 70. So we were way over target. So that's allowed us to do two things in North Queensland. One is to identify the banana gene that we wanted to use, and also to make sure that these bananas, the stability of that trait in the bananas was durable over many, many seasons, and that's gone ahead.
Now we're actually to the stage where the bananas are at the human trial stage, but they're not being conducted in Australia, that research, is it?
No, it's being done over in the US at Iowa State University, where they've got extensive experience with doing these nutritional studies. It's a nutritional study rather than anything else. And the idea of that nutritional study is to determine in humans, we've done it in Mongolian gerbils before, but not in humans, to determine exactly how efficiently humans can convert the provitamin A to vitamin A. That's what the nutritional study is for. And the idea of that tells us exactly how much of our bananas people will need to consume to get 50% of their daily requirement.
So the university students that are going to be eating these bananas, or that may well already have eaten the bananas, are they going to be eating the ones from here, from North Queensland, the ones grown here?
Yes, indeed. So we actually shipped them over to Iowa State University, which was quite a challenge to get bananas harvested in North Queensland down to Brisbane to test the level of provitamin A, and then shipped over to Iowa State without them ripening.
Trial and error, I would imagine.
Well, it was certainly a trial.
Yeah, and are they now in America? Are they now being consumed?
They're in America. So one of the important things is that this is obviously a blind study. We're not involved in it. We provide the bananas. We know that all of the approvals have gone through in the US, and what we will hear next is when that's all completed.
Where to from there, Ben?
So that's only obviously a very minor part of the project. That's really just to make sure that we've got, or to determine the exact level that people would need to eat. The really important part of the project now is the developmental field trial in Uganda, where we've got these genes in the local bananas, and it was our Ugandan collaborators that did that. And so these genes are now in the local bananas, they're in the field, and we're selecting out the lines that will ultimately go through for release to farmers.
It is 11 minutes past 4 on ABC Far North and 6:30 ABC North Queensland. We're talking genetically modified bananas. That was Professor James Dale from the Centre for Tropical Crops and Biodiversity at the Queensland University of Technology. Now, the human testing of these genetically modified bananas in America has created a real stir. A petition has been signed by over 57,000 people around the world calling for those trials to be aborted. One local food grower who is dead against the GM bananas is a lady called Lisa. She's from a group called the Seed Savers Network, which aims to preserve the natural genetic diversity of our food plants. And I had a chat to her about her concerns.
Well, there are many, many people in Uganda that are very much against genetically modified organisms coming into their country. There are large movements of people over there also trying to keep GMOs out of Africa. And a lot of people actually see the genetically modified banana as another bit of corporate trickery to get GMOs into Africa, because it's not actually a seed. A lot of people didn't want the seeds there. So I guess what we need to look at is the focus has shifted from India and gone to Africa. You don't really hear much about the iron-rich GMO bananas these days. The focus is very much on the bananas for Africa. I just see inconsistencies in the marketing, I guess, the marketing of the idea. And I can see so much money going into the development of these genetically modified bananas and other crops.
But the researchers are saying that they're doing a good thing here, that they're trying to address an issue that kills so many people in Eastern Africa, vitamin A deficiency.
Well, it's a really interesting selling point, and there's a lot of money to be made from genetically modified crops. A GMO banana, when you look at bananas, they're one of the main crops in the world. There's hundreds of different varieties of bananas that have, some of them already have very high amounts of beta carotene. In fact, there is another issue here, and that is of biopiracy. There are particular bananas in Micronesia, I think, that have a lot of beta carotene, and so they've actually gone and taken the genes from those bananas that already have high beta carotene. And yeah, it seems to me more of an issue of actually patenting a product. And I do honestly feel from my heart that if people were actually interested in people's health, that they would spend time with those people on the ground in the farmlands, like Vandana Shiva and many, many other people, the permaculture movement, spending time with the people on the land so that they can teach people how to teach other people how to grow nutrient-rich, biodiverse food systems, which also build up their soil and protect their waterways.
This year, there has been quite a lot of hullabaloo in the US relating to the genetically modified bananas. What's the public sentiment been like about Iowa State University trying to get students to eat these bananas?
Well, the Iowa State University put out some advertisements for 12 young women. Now, that for me is an issue in itself. Why 12 young women? So 12 young women to eat 3 bananas a day, in exchange for $900. This is what they're calling human testing for the GMO bananas. It raises a lot of questions. The women that are meant to be doing this, what else are they eating? What sort of testing are they doing on what else they're eating? Would anybody consider that 12 people eating 3 bananas a day would be anywhere near sufficient to be testing things on human beings for mass release in an African country? You know, you're offering $900 to people that are going to uni. Quite a lot of uni students have got big university debts and things like that. It kind of feels to me like you would be after the people who have very little interest in their health and perhaps more interested in the $900. And how much information are these people getting? Just in the last couple of weeks, Vandana Shiva has been...
Can you remind us who she is again?
So Vandana Shiva is a global food sovereignty and seed sovereignty advocate. So Vandana Shiva has the Navdanya seed bank, and that's one of the largest seed banks in the world. There are a lot of seed banks in the world. She also travels around. She's written a lot of books. One that I've read recently is a book called Making Peace with the Earth, which is a book that I would very much recommend to anybody who has any interest in food growing on the earth at this time. It really is something that we need to pay attention to. There is a corporate push to corporatize the food structure. And Vandana is here in Australia and talking about a topic such as that. And while she was here, she presented a petition for over 57,000 signatures that against the Iowa human trials of the genetically modified banana. And she presented that to the Queensland University of Technology and to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who are putting the money up for this genetically modified banana project. So what I see is at stake is, well, the safety to human beings. There's no consensus on that. The threats to the traditional food growing practices, and that means the threats to those local communities and families, their livelihoods of their small-scale farmers.
So that is a Far North Queensland resident called Lisa. She is a local food grower and a member of the Seed Savers Network. We've been talking GM bananas on Drive thus far. We'll go back now to the man we first heard from, James Dale from the Queensland University of Technology. He is the professor behind the GM Banana Project, and I put Lisa's concerns about GM bananas to him.
Part of our agreement with the Gates Foundation under the funding is that we would make this technology freely available to resource-poor farmers. So we haven't taken patents out on any of the genes that we put into these bananas, and neither would we. When they're made available in Uganda, and that'll be the initially, they'll be multiplied and distributed at cost. So the idea is to distribute them to farmers at the lowest possible cost, and that may be no cost at all, but we won't be involved in that stage.
What about the argument that this is some form of biopiracy? I've heard that accusation made as well about these projects.
That's right, yes, and that's the idea that we took these genes illegally. That's also not true. The plants that we took the genes from were actually already in Australia, and under an agreement they were available for public benefit. And so the genes we use in those bananas were already available for the public benefit, whether that's through conventional breeding or whether that's through genetic modification.
What about the argument with GM foods that they aren't safe for the environment, they aren't safe for humans?
Oh, I think there are a whole lot of bits to that argument or that discussion. A lot of it has been around, you know, the ownership of genetic resources and how that was very concentrated, particularly from a GM perspective, in the large multinationals, and obviously Monsanto is the one that always comes to mind. I can say a couple of things about that. One is that our project doesn't involve any multinationals at all. It's funded by the Gates Foundation, and the technology is going to be made freely available. So that doesn't come into this discussion. From our concern about human health and environmental safety, the bananas, the gene we're using comes out of a banana. Bananas naturally produce provitamin A. What we've done is just increased the level using a banana gene. So there's no, and we know beta carotene is non-toxic, even at very high levels. And so there's really nothing to be concerned about what we've done.